stand and praise the God who has been the same for generations. Please join us in singing Same God.
I'm calling on the Holy Spirit. My name is Tugger Johnston. My parents are Ben and Tiffany Johnston, and my brother is Xander Johnston. Today I will be talking about why Isaiah 40:31 is my favorite Bible verse. Isaiah 40:31 states, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk but not be faint." This Bible verse has many different meanings to me. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength means we can't only rely on ourselves, but we need to fully rely on Jesus. When we do, he gives us the strength to keep going. They will soar on wings like eagles, meaning the Lord lifts us in difficult times. They will run and not grow weary, meaning even when life gets tiring, God gives us the energy to keep moving. He helps us keep going when we feel like giving up. They will walk but not be faint, meaning God supports us every day. He helps us stay strong and not lose hope. In my everyday life, I always think back to this verse and certain parts of this verse whenever I'm upset or sometimes whenever I'm in the middle of a cross-country race. I remind myself that during hard times or in a race that I can't only rely on myself, I need to lean towards Jesus for help. When I lean towards Jesus, he gives me strength mentally and physically to keep going. Whenever something in school comes up, like a state test or a random book report that's due the next day, it builds up lots of pressure. Even in those times of pressure, God is always lifting me. Now, this one sentence of this verse I can relate to. They will run and not grow weary. As a cross-country and track runner, I feel like this part speaks to me. Running can be tiring. There are moments when I feel like I can't finish the race, but God gives me the energy and the ability to keep going. It's not just about running a race. It's about pushing forward in life. It's about pushing forward in life when things get hard. Overall, this reminds me that my strength doesn't come just from my effort. It comes from trusting in the Lord. And whether I'm running on the track or walking through life, I know he's with me every step of the way.
My name is Ethan Kukowski. I'm the son of Bo and Bree Kukowski. I have an older sister, Emma, and a younger brother, Ian. The topic I selected for today is the significance of the Bible. I chose this topic because to me the Bible offers us a message of hope, purpose, and foundation. The Bible offers significance that gives us a chance to see and know God. Reading of the passages and scriptures gives us insight into who God is, his reasons for creating us, the world, and everything in it. We are also able to read about how God treated his people with goodness and grace, with holiness and justice, and mercy and compassion. One passage that comes to mind is Psalm 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." This verse guides me daily in my walk with God, knowing that I need to be faithful in my relationship with him. In being faithful, I make time to read my Bible, pray, and lean on him in good times and those that are hard. This has been a big impact on my life and leading me in the right direction. The Bible also teaches us lessons through parables. One example being how the Good Samaritan teaches us to show kindness and compassion to everyone, no matter who they are. Another parable that teaches a good lesson is the parable of the sower. The parable is like a story that shows how people react differently to learning about God. It helps you think about what kind of soil you are. For example, you are ready to grow in your faith, or there are things holding you back. It's a way to remind you to keep your heart open and take care of your faith so it can grow strong and make a difference in your life. The Bible holds great significance in shaping people's daily lives. It inspires acts of kindness, forgiveness, and love towards others. Additionally, it serves as a valuable guide for navigating everyday challenges, like dealing with stress or anxiety. Comforting Bible verse for this is Philippians 4:6-7. "Do not be anxious about everything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." Another way the Bible is significant is it proves hope, and salvation. Through hope, Christians are sustained in their journey of faith, and through salvation, they are assured of eternal life with God. It is my hope that by taking this next step in my faith journey, that I continue to grow closer to God, lean on Him always, and share my knowledge with others.
Good morning. My name is Elijah Verhoff. My parents are Joshua and Shanda Verhoff, and my siblings are Jaden, Shiloh, and Afia. Today, I'll be talking about the importance of the Bible. The Bible is the foundation of our faith. It leads us and guides us and sets examples on what you should and should not do. One simple example is the Ten Commandments. The Bible provides wisdom and inspiration on which we can lean on during hard times and good times. It can be as simple as a verse or a deed that Jesus performed that we can fall back on. One example of a verse we can rely on is Joshua 1:9. It states, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." This just shows one of the many verses we can depend on during hard times. The Bible also narrates on Christianity and prophets. It teaches us on how we should act and repent from the sins that we face. We should also read the Bible as it's absolutely reliable and without error. It teaches us about Jesus, his life, his purpose, and his main mission to save us. It teaches us that we will fall to sin, so we need to confess and repent as we are imperfect, but the Lord our God is perfect. The Bible also guides us to live well, live with joy, and trust God. It gives a basic example of what every Christian should do. As a Christian, we should rely on the Bible to teach us and guide us through everyday lives. It gives us lessons about Jesus, the prophets, and everyday people. One example can be found in Exodus, where Moses, a prophet, leads the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. Another example is in 1 Kings, where Elijah proved that our God was real and Baal was not. These are great examples to learn from and follow and live by. The Bible also shows us ways to treat others and loving your neighbors, as in Matthew 7:12. To the others, whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Again, in Matthew 25:40, it states, "And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when it did one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." These are simple lessons we can live by. When we read the Bible multiple times and through different stages of our lives, we can learn different lessons and stories. One example can be God's gift to Solomon, his wisdom, 1 Kings 4:29. Even if you have read the Bible once, you can go through it again and learn so many different lessons and many different things that pop out at you. Philippians 4:9 states, "Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you." As we go on in our lives, the Bible should have an impact on what you say and act. We as Christians should set an example to others. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. 1 John 4:16. To conclude, the Bible has so many lessons, rules, stories, and teachings that show its importance and value.
Good morning. My name is Jude Rutledge, and my parents are Jeff and Stacy Rutledge, and my siblings are Reagan and Molly Rutledge. I want to talk today about why Ephesians 6:13-17 is my favorite passage in the Bible. It is because of the visual picture it paints for me and the explanation behind the pieces of armor. Ephesians 6 states, Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. As I review this passage, it was part of a letter in the Epistle of Ephesians, written from Paul to the church of Ephesus, saying that we need to be ready for spiritual warfare. Each of the parts of the armor has affected me in many ways. The belt of truth has helped me in everyday life to be truthful and have the most integrity so I can do what's right. When I was little, I had the competitive drive to win in any way possible, sometimes even by cheating. But the belt of truth has strained the way I do things, especially when I am competing. The breastplate of righteousness is protecting me from the everyday distractions that the devil tempts me with that leads me away from the righteous path following Jesus Christ. For example, if I am tasked with something at home that I don't want to do, looking at the way that the breastplate shapes my thoughts overcomes my reluctance to do it. The shoes of readiness for the gospel of peace gives me good examples to lead by and enables me to be able to spread the gospel and good news of Jesus Christ, preparing me to spread the peace and love that Jesus offers. I try to be active in my faith by leading by example and being involved in Bible studies with prayer. The shield of faith extinguishes the flaming arrows of the enemy, meaning blocking the temptations of the evil one that tries to attack us spiritually and mentally. Day-to-day worries that I experience in my life that might include exams and sports performance, but the comfort that I get from the goodness of God resolves it. The helm of salvation is protection that's guarding our hearts and minds from death spiritually and gives us eternal hope. The anxiety study that we are examining in Sunday school has shown me that earthly troubles that we experience are not what matters eternally. The final piece of the armor, the sword of the Spirit, is the gospel that is arming us to be able to defend ourselves against the enemy to defeat the evil one. Every day I study the verse of the day and try to think of the message that is trying to get across, as well as deepening my relationship with God through my prayer. With all the pieces of armor, we'll be prepared for spiritual battle. Lord, your greatness is above all. You bless us with your love and forgiveness. As you have gifted us with these things, let us offer up our gifts to you. Let us dedicate our offerings in prayer. As you have provided for us, we give what we can back to you, Lord. We offer it up to you so you can give it a purpose for those in need of hope and to make your kingdom grow. Amen. I invite the ushers forward to collect this morning's offerings.
On this fourth Sunday of the month, I invite our ushers to come back in and receive our second offering for our capital campaign to go towards our present building project. If you look at the stewardship report in the bulletin each week, we began those reports back on February 2nd. And on February 2nd, the report shared that we needed to still raise $196,000 towards the project. As of April 24th, the need has been decreased by $74,000. So we've raised $74,000 in those 3 months, needing a new target goal of $122,000. So we continue to be grateful for the way the Lord supplies for the project and all the other ministries of the church. Even though stage one is behind schedule and not finished, we are starting stage two, thus the pews were removed this last week in preparation for tomorrow morning. Anyone that can make it at 8 o'clock or after that, we have to remove everything out of the sanctuary. the remaining pews, all the chairs, the lectern and the pulpit, the altarware, the sound system, even the piano, and anything else. In preparation for Mel Landser to be able to remove all of the carpet on Tuesday, in preparation for Total Environmental to hopefully show up on Wednesday, tent off the sanctuary and begin to remove all the asbestos materials in the floor. So the work continues. We thank you for your contributions, and we thank you for your patience through the project.
Pastor Eric's already ahead of me, so please rise as you're able, and I will then do my introduction. So from the littlest, from little Sadie to our four confirmands, and to us that have may already be in the faith, as we think about our own faith and as we go out into the world this week, we want to build God's kingdom. That'll be our closing song. We want to set this church on fire, and we want to win the nation back. So our closing song, Build Your Kingdom Here, and following the spoken benediction, we will end with The Trees of the Field.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, as we conclude this sacred time of worship and fellowship, we gather before you as children. We thank you for the blessings we have received. May your presence continue to dwell among us as we depart from this place. Let us bring your light into the world. Amen.